Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show here at Sandpoint, Idaho. This is Julie Calamine, your morning show host, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I hear you were out fishing last week.
Oh, it was an adventure, Phil. I was at Rocky Ford Creek over in, I guess that's eastern Washington. Still, Washington's a big state, and much adventure ensued. One part of it included losing my phone for the second time this year, so it's been an exciting week for me, Phil.
Did you catch anything?
No. Oh. I was the only one skunked on top of it all, so pretty exciting trip.
Well, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. And what about your week? What have you been up to?
Oh, I had a fun-filled week. We went to McCall, Idaho for a retreat for Idaho Trails Association to do a little planning for the coming year.
Good. Planning is important. This is the planning time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah. 39 projects this year.
Oh, my goodness.
12 up here in North Idaho. So more on that later.
Very true. And McCall, what a fun place to be for planning.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the weather, and then we'll introduce our guests for this morning. We're going to be talking Eagle Scouting and scouting in general. But for the moment, weather. It's a little cold, isn't it? It was 15 degrees or 14. It's now 16 this morning, Phil. It's going to warm up a bit to a high of 22 with some flaky snowflakes falling. But then tomorrow and Wednesday, we've got sun, which will be something nice to look forward to. Still cool, but sunny and pretty, I think. Then snow coming again on Thursday. Chances of snow on Thursday and Friday. Looks like 70% chance of snow on Friday. So snow coming, and I think we're all looking forward to a little bit more snow, at least the Nordic and Alpine skiers out here.
Well, it's better than rain this time of year.
Yes, and snowshoers care about it too. Okay. So let's hope for a bit of snow. Well, moving on, we've got a really interesting program this morning I think everyone's going to be happy to hear about, and I'm going to introduce our guests. We have Eagle Scouts, Eagle Scout Troop Master Jude Ackerman. Good morning, Jude.
Good morning, Julie. Thank you.
Happy to have you here. You're a Scout Master, and we're being joined by two of the Scouts in his troop, and the first is Sam Lumpkin. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And Aiden Ackerman. Good morning, Aiden.
Good morning.
I'm assuming Ackerman means you're Jude's son.
Yes, it does.
That's good. Well, anyway, so happy to have you here, guys. And I'd like to hear something about y'all. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourselves and how you got involved with scouting. And Jude, let's start with you. Let's hear how you got involved in scouting.
Well, it goes back to my youth. So like 1979, I became a Cub Scout myself and grew up on a farm in eastern Colorado. And then now that I've got two sons of my own, I knew I wanted to have them in scouting, and got word on where the meetings were and knew that probably in a short period that I'd end up being a leader, because I just wanted to be involved in my boys' lives growing up, and knew the scouting program had a lot of great things to offer a young man and needed more and more in our youth these days, even more than when I was a child. But you know, getting them away from the video games and out from behind the TV and enjoying the outdoors and learning citizenship and what it takes to be a good young man. So that was kind of my starting of it.
And you moved from being a scout into the leadership of various local scout troops, packs.
Yeah. Yeah. I made it up through what they call Weeblos when I was a young man. And then, like I said, grew up on a farm. So got to that age where I was really valuable on the farm, and had a scout master that had a big heart, but just didn't have the outdoor skills, I guess, and the heart for the outdoors. And so I dropped out of scouting myself and got more busy on the farm. And I wish I would have had somebody instill in me how important an Eagle Scout is in your life and how much it can mean for you. So,
but. Yeah. And you started with the Cub Scouts as an adult, helping the Cub Scouts, and now you're with the Boy Scouts, your troop leader.
Correct, yes. I started with my oldest, Aiden, here when he was a tiger in first grade. And so they go tiger, wolf, bear, weeblo. And so I was den leader for him. And then his youngest is 3 years below him. So then I followed him through each level. And now I'm a scout master. And the Boy Scout level, it's a little bit more boy-led. So we're there just to kind of guide them and make sure that they have a good program and that they're successful in what they're doing. And
Yes, so you can help them find the resources them to succeed.
So cool. Tiger, wolf, bear, Weeblo, and where do the Cub versus the Boy Scouts fit into the hierarchy or the lineage?
Fifth grade is where they would transfer into Boy Scouts. And they've actually changed the program. So now it used to be Weeblos 1 and 2. Now it's Weeblos and what they call Arrow of Light. So the boys, when they're in fifth grade, are really focusing on that transition from Cubs to Boy Scouts, where they're learning the Scout Law, the Oath, getting a little bit more of that boy-led idea into their system instead of just having mom and dad or the den leader, you know, kind of getting them focused. So,
sure. Jude, you mentioned that Boy Scout level, it's Scout-led, but it's still got to be a pretty big commitment for you, the Scout leader. I'll bet you're spending a lot of time working with kids.
Yeah, meeting once a week, and we try and go camping once a month. Summertime, we have a 50-mile trip that we do. Most of the time, it's got backpacking combined with either biking or canoeing. This last year, we actually did 56 miles strictly backpacking. And so, yeah, it's a commitment for sure, but it's you know, it does the heart good to see these boys go from little wild terrors into great young men. So. Yeah,
great opportunity to get outdoors and experience it and learn some of the skills necessary.
Yep.
Well, let's hear from these wild terrors and let's hear how you guys got interested in scouting. Sam, tell us how you got involved in this troop.
Well, I got involved in scouting when I was a young kid, I think about first grade. I joined the local troop, Cub Scout Troop 149. And then from there, I believe I went through Wolf and then Bear. And then I transferred over to Jude's troop, which was Pack 120. And then from there, I went all the way up to the Boy Scout level. And then from there, I transferred over to 111. And then now I'm settled in Troop 308. And I've just had a blast in Troop 308. It's been so much fun hanging out with all the guys that are in my troop and doing all the experiences.
So different troops organized around a different area or grouping of people. How do the different troops separate or differentiate?
It's a little bit by locale. So there's Troop 149, which is south of the bridge, kind of Sagal area, and then here in Sandpoint we have Troop 111 and Troop 308. A little bit of it's the charter. We're chartered through the Catholic Church with 308, and 111 is Kiwanis. And it kind of boils down to their meeting. They meet on Thursdays. We meet on Tuesdays. So sometimes that works into families' calendars. Sure. And then there's the LDS troops that theirs is kind of incorporated in with their church system a little bit. And so kind of regional is how it's divided somewhat. And they try and keep the amount of troops limited so you don't have a whole bunch of unsuccessful as opposed to three or four that have good numbers. So,
sure. Well, Aiden, tell us a little bit about how things started with you and scouting.
Well, I started because my dad was wanting us to get into the troop, and so I started first. My brother was a little too young, so we started, and the pack leader at the time was Mr. Hawk, and we met out at his place, and we went sledding. We had a whole bunch of fun, and I really enjoyed it. And then we started meeting at the community hall, and then eventually my dad took over, and then we became really involved in that because first, my dad had to go to a lot of the meetings and had to be there a lot, so I got pretty involved, and then I've just stuck through all the way until I got Eagle Scout, and now I'm 18, so I'm going to be an assistant junior scoutmaster right now. So.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Pretty impressive. Go ahead, Phil.
So I should say, give us a picture of how large, what's the impact or the footprint of scouting, at least in the local area? How many troops are there? How many scout leaders? How many boys in the program?
Well, for Troop 308, we've got, I think we have 25 registered scouts right now. And 111, I would say, is hovering about that same number just by seeing what they have at the camperies and stuff. 149, their numbers had dwindled a little bit in the past, but I believe they're building back up. So I think they're hovering about 10 or 12 boys in their troop. The LDS groups are pretty big in the area for sure. And unfortunately, the LDS is dropping scouting at the end of this year, and we're going to see a major decline nationwide in scouting because they're, I would say LDS is probably a third of scouting. Just, you know, not really knowing the for sure percentage, but in our area, they always, like if we have our Klondike Derby that we just had, they always end up going home Saturday nights. So the campsite goes down by about half on Saturday night.
Sure. And I'm assuming they'll have a form of program, but it won't be scouting. Is that what they're doing?
They are doing a young men's program in their church. And then the current Boy Scouts that they have are definitely encouraged to find another troop. We've got a couple of their leaders that have contacted me and a few of their boys. One of them actually has already transferred over to continue their scouting career, and they understand, you know, the importance of getting that Eagle rank, and so quite a few of those 14 to 15 year olds, I think we're going to see transfer into other troops.
So this is a nationwide shift for the LDS Church pulling away from scouting, not just the local one.
Correct. Yep. Nationwide, they're dropping out,
and that's going to change some of the demographics that you were talking about. And let's pick up on that thread a little bit more. Tell us a little bit about how scouting is transitioning right now.
Well, as most everybody knows, they've opened it up for girls to join. So that's going to be a little bit of a help for sure to keep the numbers up with losing the LDS. And I'm hoping that a good percentage of the LDS guys will transfer into non-LDS troops to keep it going, not only leadership-wise, but in the youth for sure, too, to keep our numbers going. And there's been quite a few organizations or some of the charters that are a little bit upset in the direction that Boy Scouts are going. But I think, unfortunately, you know, things have to just kind of change with what the times are, or you're going to perish.
And for clarity here, the girls that are joining aren't joining the Girl Scouts. They're joining what was called the Boy Scouts of America, and it's now the Scouting of America or Scouts of America.
Yes, correct. We've had to change our name, and they are definitely joining at the troop level. And most, I know in our area, they're going to be a individual patrol of girls. I believe the one we have going is incorporated with Troop 149 down in Sagal. So they'll be somewhat separate, but also combined when we have our jamborees and big campouts.
Sure. So the actual troops or dens, whatever, you know, the proper term would be, will be separate boys and girls, but you will get together from time to time.
Yes.
And there are five programs. I know the Cub and Boy Scouts, Venturing Sea Scouts, and Exploring. And some of those are co-ed, I believe, aren't they?
Yes. Venturing and Exploring are both co-ed. They are Venturing, I think you're 14 or older to get into that one, and that goes all the way up to 21 years old. So it's a little bit of a continuation for boys that, you know, maybe go ahead and get their Eagle Scout and they still want a little bit more adventure. And their regulations are a little bit more, or a little looser, I guess. You know, they can shoot high-powered rifles, adventuring, rock climbing is much easier to do. And so it's a little bit easier to get out and have those big adventures.
And so those are separate troops?
Yes, some of them also would attend jamborees and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's definitely a separate entity made up of usually the older boys and get girls in there too.
Sure. Well, guys, are the 10 or 12 points of scouting still being used? Do you still memorize those?
Yeah, so every day, every Tuesday when we have our meetings, at the beginning of the meeting, we say the pledge, then we recite the scout law, the scout oath, and then the outdoor code. And so the scout law is basically trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So those are just like the, those are the things that the scouts have always tried to live by, and we're always taught to try and be examples of all those in our daily lives. So, yeah.
Right. And that's a lot of, attributes to try and achieve. I'm impressed that you, one, memorized them, and two, are working on them. Let's talk about some of the badges, the merit badges. Sam, would you tell us about some of the interesting projects you work on in scouting?
Well, I would say that the most interesting, at least in my opinion, merit badge that I earned was a shotgun merit badge, where we were used shotguns and we had to shoot clay pigeons, about, I believe, 30 of them. And with that, you really learn how to maintain a gun, learn how to shoot the gun correctly, and really just learn about the safety, which I think is a big problem in America currently, is gun safety and people not correctly knowing how to use firearms. And that's one of the main purposes of, for me at least, joining Scouts, was to correctly know and how to use firearms, because everyone in my family owns a gun, and I now own two guns. And I would like rather to be educated about those firearms in which I use, which can take a life so easily. And I'd like to know all the safety features in which that I can help protect people around me when I'm using those.
That sounds like a great skill to have and to recognize with a merit badge. Are there a core grouping of merit badges that most of the Boy Scouts aspire to get?
There's 13 mandatory merit badges that they have to have for their Eagle Project. Cooking, family, family life, personal management. There's three different citizenships, citizen and community, nation and world. And camping, environmental science, just kind of going off the top of my head here. But there's definitely every scout that has Eagle is going to have those 13 core merit badges that deal with, you know, a well-rounded individual. And then they have 21 total that they have to have. So there's eight others that they get to choose from out of the 137, I think, merit badges.
Wow, 137.
So, you know, we always think of scouting as guys in the outdoors being young, upstanding men in the outdoors, but it's really a more of a civic, it's as much of a civic education as it is an outdoor education. And I think we missed just a bit by not having addressed the mission of scouting. Could we, let's come back to that. What is the mission of Boy Scouts?
So the official mission statement is that Boy Scouts of America is to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetime by installing in them the values of the Scout Oath and Scout Law. And we've already heard the Scout Law from Aiden, and the Scout Oath is, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. So that is the core, for sure, of what I instill into my boys.
Scouting has a long and rich history, and that oath, I'm sure, sounded very familiar, if not recitable to many in our audience. But for some, it's new. And for the public in general, tell us a little bit about how long and rich the history of scouting is. How did it all begin?
So it goes clear back to 1910, when scouting was started in America. And kind of a fun little story with that, William D. Boyce was visiting London and was lost in the fog on the London streets. And out of nowhere, this young man showed up in a uniform and could tell right away that he was American and not English, and knew that he was lost. Escorted him to the address that he was trying to find. And then when William Boyce wanted to give him a tip for it, he's like, "No, sir, I'm a Boy Scout. I'm just doing my good turn for the day, and, you know, have a good day," and turned off and disappeared into the fog. So he became known as the Unknown Scout. And, you know, this is a story that pretty much any scouter knows. So Boyce then was interested in what this young man was, met with their local scouting, and ended up bringing it back to America then, and it, you know, turned into what it is now. So, and it had a little bit of roots with Ernest Thomas Seton, who had the Woodcraft Indians, which was a boys' group that was going on in the early 1900s, and then Daniel Carter Beard had Sons of Daniel Boone. They were really outdoor orientated groups that were incorporated into what Boy Scouting is. Mm-hmm. And so now we've got, you know, the outdoors and the ethics of Boy Scouting that have all combined with those three gentlemen. So,
And has anyone delved into the history of how that unknown Boy Scout came to be? Where do the roots of that follow?
They have tried to investigate in to see who the boy was, and they've never been able to lock down, you know, his actual name or anything. That he was just a young man in London that was in a Boy Scout troop there, and that's just kind of part of being a Boy Scout, is that unknown person that does that good deed. And, you know, whether it's aid to rescue in hurricanes or helping somebody across the street or shoveling snow for your neighbor, you know, they just do it without having reward and acknowledgement of it. So,
you know, Phil, we started by asking Sam about his favorite merit badge, and we didn't follow up with Aiden. Aiden, you've got to tell us what your favorite accomplishments in the badge department have been.
Well, there's a lot of really fun merit badges. I've done shotgun, rifle. Just a few years ago, we went to a camp on the Oregon coast called Meriwether, named after Meriwether Lewis from Lewis and Clark. And they had a merit badge that I had never seen before. It was metalworking. So basically blacksmithing and forging. And they had a really, really nice forge there. So I decided I'd take it. And I had quite a bit of fun with that. That entire camp was a lot of fun. They had black powder muzzle loaders. They just had a whole bunch of fun. You could go biking and rock climbing, and we were right on the beach, so it was a really cool camp.
What did you end up smithing? What was your product?
So they had a few projects that were set for the merit badge. Like, you had to make a J-hook, which is basically just a hook that you could hang your coat on or something on the wall, and then you could choose between an S hook, an ice spike, which an ice spike is basically just like a tent stake with a loop on the top that you make. The S hook is used for hanging something because it had a hook on one side and another hook on the other. So we got to choose from a few projects, but those were the main ones, and it was a lot of fun.
And you earned your badge.
Yep, yes. I did.
And you got there because your dad scheduled that, right? Not every troop gets to go to Camp Meriwether.
Yeah, so our troop decided a few years ago that every other year we'd go on a bigger summer camp. So like this past year, they went to Fire Mountain over in Washington. Then this year we're going to be going to Camp Easton, which is just down on Diamond Lake. So every other year we go to a close one, and then the other, year in between we go somewhere far. And, I think next year we're trying to decide on going either to Hawaii or, somewhere else. We just got to make the fundraising for that.
And so there's an option to go to a summer camp, and you mentioned earlier the hikes every summer, the 50-mile hike. So it sounds like a pretty full agenda for not only the boys who are participating, but for the scout leaders.
Yeah, it's definitely a commitment by you know, a group of us leaders. We always maintain a bare minimum of 2 deep leadership, and I strive to have, you know, 4 wherever we're going. Some of those big trips, you're kind of minimized down to the 2, but so yeah, it's a commitment on the adults for sure to make it all happen. And I've fortunately got a really good group of adults in my troop that step up and make it happen.
Aiden, we've heard a bit about you and your accomplishments as an Eagle Scout, but Sam, you need to tell us where you are in this process. Are you a finished Eagle Scout, or are you still finished?
I just finished Eagle Scout along with Aiden. For my project, the Eagle Scout requires, in order to achieve the rank, that you do a major project that benefits the community, because Scouts is so oriented around helping the community and helping others, which is something that's becoming rare these days, it seems. And for my project, I decided to build two raised beds for my school, which is the Sandpoint Charter School, in order to help their science program and their agriculture program. And with those raised beds, I added misting systems on top so that they did not have to water the plants, which then damages the vegetation. So rather, they can hook the hose right into the misting system, and then it mists the plants on the ground so that they can have better readings. And then along with that, I added individual hoses to smaller boxes inside of those so that they can test for drought on different varieties of plants. So if they had all one variety of corn plants, they could then measure how a corn plant is affected by lack of water or an increased amount of water, because there's about six boxes in each raised bed. Mm-hmm.
So that's a fantastic project. And it sounds like there's a wide array of projects that potential Eagle Scouts might do, and great benefits to the community. And we know there's a core curriculum, if you will, of the 13 merit badges. What else goes into the Eagle Scout program, or draw us a bigger picture of what it all means within the context of the troop you're in?
Well, the main thing with Eagle, the main 2 points I would say would be help making a project that benefits the community, but along with is the focus is to make the young man or girl now into more of a community leader, because the Boy Scout that is striving to achieve Eagle cannot actually physically build the project. They have to use fellow scouts or fellow community members, family and friends, to help build the project, and they direct the project. They can't physically touch it. And so with doing the Eagle Scout project, you then have to make photographic evidence for when you present the Eagle Scout project that you did to the local
board. It's really a test of leadership.
Yes, that is really what it is down to.
Yes, and exactly, in a project with planning, and I definitely can see the scientific element to your project. So many of the elementary schools here have, of course, student gardens, which I've volunteered at, and they are just that, garden beds, and they're wonderful. But yours goes far beyond that. How nice.
Yeah, I really didn't want to just build a generic raised bed for my school, especially since my school's specifically focused around science. Science and math in particular. And so I wanted to build something that went way more into that, so that the science programs at my school could use it for future science classes rather than just for the present classes.
Aiden, we haven't heard about your Eagle Scout project.
Well, my project, I actually found the idea when I was checking out some colleges, because I'll be graduating this year, and so I was checking out of college, and I saw this rack on the sidewalk out in front of one of their buildings, and it's for longboards and skateboards. So I decided that was a really cool idea, and I wanted to know where I could put it, and I realized that the Sandpoint High School would be perfect for that, because I see a lot of kids walking through the halls carrying their longboards or skateboards, because our lockers aren't big enough to put them anywhere, and if you want to keep them at the school, you have to ask a teacher to watch it for you, which can be a nuisance. So I thought, well, why not just do this project for the high school? And so I fundraised for it. You ask the community for money for it. You ask friends, family, you just raise money through the community, and then you pay for it, and then you get a group of guys together, and then you put it in and put it together. And so right now it's out in front of the high school.
Wow. So excellent. Raised money, planned it, installed it, and managed all of that. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Both really interesting projects.
Wonderful, wonderful projects.
Yes. Well,
Steve Miller and his band with Fly Like an Eagle. Do eagles fly? Well, metaphorically, tell us how they fly.
So, in Scouts, if you start as a Cub Scout, you get all the ranks from Tiger to Weeblo, and then you transition into Boy Scouts. But you don't have to start in Scouts or in Cub Scouts. You can start in Boy Scouts, and the first rank that you achieve is Scout. Each rank has different requirements for it. Like, there's time requirements where you have to be a scout for 6 months or something like that. And then each rank, you would have to learn certain skills or demonstrate certain skills. And so from scout, there goes tenderfoot, then second class, then first class, then star, then life, then eagle. And so scout through first class is basically learning skills and then trying to demonstrate them. And then once you become first class to Eagle Scout, you then are teaching others how to do these skills, and you are the leader. And so the ranking requirements from then on become more of leadership skills.
So how long does it take someone to go through all those various stages?
The bare minimum, I believe, works out to 18 months. And the only reason why I know that is there's a lot of girls out there that are joining that they are of an age level to where if they want to attain Eagle, they kind of give them this time frame that they have to make it happen. So that's the bare minimum, but that's, you know, that's hyper going through it, which would be doable for an older teenager. But for somebody that comes in at 11 or 12, I think the youngest Eagle out there is an early 14-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of those are like a homeschooled individual to where they can really focus their school curriculum on scouting and incorporate that together. And quite often those boys end up earning, you know, over 100 merit badges. And there's one of them here locally that earned every merit badge.
Wow.
And achieved his Eagle. I believe he had just turned 15 when he got his Eagle, so...
And so there's an upper age limit, too. Tell us about that.
They have to have their project completed by the time their 18th birthday. And there is a little bit of a leeway then for paperwork issues, but it's all suggested to have her done by 18. So,
And it's kind of a life-changing experience, I think. Sam, why don't you tell us how it's changed? What has changed for you?
I think that the scouting experience for me has really... I would definitely say I would be in a very different place if I hadn't gone through Scouts, and Scouts has taught me to a better to really focus on the community and to help others around me in a kind of a modern trending style that in like at least in our modern society people are more self-focused in which themselves, especially in I see in youth a lot, and I think that Scouting has really opened me up to be more caring towards others, and I would believe that Scouting has also shown me all different types of leadership skills to lead others, both my age, younger, and older. And I think Eagle for me is super important because it's just such a biggish accomplishment. And to me, it's the most rewarding thing because I put so much work into it. And it's finally like I've achieved something that's just truly awesome and amazing. And along with that is in Scoutings, you get a lot of help. And especially when you get Eagle, because it opens up a massive amount of scholarship opportunities. So I'd say for people that are saying, oh, I'm not too interested in Scouts, there is a massive perk at the very end. Only about 3.3% of all Scouts ever become Eagles.
I was about to ask you that.
70,000 each year. And out of those people that apply for the scholarships, they're a lot smaller. There's just for the Eagle Scout scholarships, there's one $60,000 scholarship for STEM, one $45,000 scholarship for anything, and then four $25,000 scholarships for anything either.
And that scholarship program is through the scouting.
Yeah, it's through, I believe, an independent program, actually, because in the Boy Scouts, once you've obtained Eagle, there is a program just for Eagles, and they just meet and talk, basically, and just kind of take care of each other in a way. But this is outside of Scouts, and it's an organization. I don't really know too much about it, but there's a lot of people that donate generous amounts to the organization.
Tell us a little bit about how Scouting has affected your life, Aiden.
Well, I have gotten to do a lot of community service. I've got to connect to a lot of people through Scouting. We do flag ceremonies for all sorts of groups of people all the time. So during Veterans Day, we do flag ceremonies. We do flag ceremonies for different sporting events. So we definitely make ourselves known out there. Our troop is definitely called whenever somebody needs a flag ceremony done. We go and we do the flag ceremony for them. I've just gotten a whole bunch of connections through scouting with a whole bunch of community members, a whole bunch of different businesses, because they know that usually scouts are very trustworthy. We have good values, and so they like seeing us around town.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I bet you make friends for life, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In the troop, a lot of the guys are pretty connected. I still see a lot of guys that used to be in the troop that might have gotten Eagle or might not have, and I still talk to them. So, yeah.
Shared experiences. You know, in the day of internet everything, and as you say, people sort of drawing in and maybe not reaching out as much, you're doing that. Do you feel that Scouts is keeping up with the modern age? What's your opinion? Either.
I would definitely say that Scouts is less, it used to be focused on teaching wilderness skills, which I believe are very important. But in our current time and age, I believe that community skills and helping others is the most important skill that you can learn out of scouting. And I think that Aiden, my fellow scout, really touched on helping veterans, veterans of foreign wars and different things, or different veterans of any wars, really. That, I believe, is one of the most important things, at least for me, because most of my family has served in the military. And I see so many people that are veterans that are not getting the correct help that they need. And I see so many things that are wrong in our government that affects that. And that it's just really kind of saddening to me that our government is more focused on sending people to war in the name of democracy rather than taking care of the people that we've already sent to war that are suffering.
So the civic-minded aspects of scouting are obviously very important to you and becoming more recognized within the organization, it sounds like.
Yes, definitely. Something that we strive for is the giving back to our community wherever possible. You know, if whether it's helping out a little old lady. You know, we had beginning of last winter, older gentleman's health kind of deteriorated, and family was having other medical issues, and he hadn't had his firewood in yet. So we rounded up the boys and filled up his whole basement with it was about 12 cords of firewood in about 4 hours, and boys all singing and having fun and enjoying their time and giving back to him. So
nationally, you mentioned 3% of the scouts achieve the rank of
Eagle.
Yeah,
just about 3.
How are you doing locally? It looks like just anecdotally here, you've got a couple in your troop, so you must be ahead of the curve.
I would say we're, in Sandpoint in general, we're probably hovering up more 40 to 50%. My troop alone, this June, I'm hoping to have 9 boys celebrating their Eagle Scout. Currently, I've got 4 of them, and hopefully, and that'll end up being of my older group that I've kind of been following since first grade, or starting to see some of them reaching that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that's quite a bit above the average and quite a bit above the curve. Jude, to what do you attribute the high success rate in our area?
I believe it has a little bit to do with the area we live in, just being able to keep the boys interested. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're in an age now to where our youth are easily distracted, and there's so many, whether it's electronics or there's just such a plethora of things out there for them to put their time in. So a lot of it, I think, is our area, and then definitely the commitment of our leadership all the way from council level mm-hmm. down to the smallest volunteer of keeping it going.
I was going to say, it's certainly a reflection on the leadership and the modeling that's going on, and in our community is one that has a very civic-minded nature to it. There's lots of folks engaged. So tell us about the impact that's had, too. The projects have a public impact, and that higher percentage of Eagle Scouts has to lead to a greater percentage impact on the local area.
Yeah, you know, kind of like Aiden hit on there, we've got a lot of flag ceremonies we do. We help out with quite a few of the elderly, and just having the bigger group of scouts that we can pull from, whether it's, you know, my troop or the other two or three troops in the area, to where we can have that larger number of boys to be available to help.
Sure, and all these Eagle Scout projects, one I'm thinking of is the boardwalk out at Round Lake State Park. What a great project, and what a helpful structure to have in that sort of wet, marshy area of the park trail.
Yeah, and I believe that was two brothers that had kind of put that into mm-hmm. play. An older brother started it, and then the younger brother came in and finished it a year or so later.
There was a couple stages, I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there others that stand out in the area we might watch for?
Definitely a few flagpoles around. The VFW hall has a nice big new flagpole. A boy in 308, kind of right when I first joined in, did that one. There's a fair amount of stuff out at the fairgrounds happening. Let's see, what did Nathan do on his?
One of our Eagle Scouts just got Eagle before I did. He did a sign up on Schweitzer for, I think, one of the hiking trails, or a few of the hiking trails. A kid named Bryce Frazier, he got his Eagle Scout at 14, so super young age. He did a bridge out at a camp on Mirror Lake. The bridge is really good because the old bridge that was there was broken, not very safe, and so they put a nice new one with rails on it, and so that was really cool.
So are the Eagle Scouts from each troop in some kind of loose affiliation with each other?
Well, every troop gets together, whether it be at camps or at different events, and so a lot of the guys from the troop are pretty good friends. We see mm-hmm. each other around quite often. And then, I think once you get Eagle Scout, there's a group that, like Sam was saying earlier, they meet all the Eagle Scouts and everything. And they go over like changes in scouts and stuff. And mm-hmm. Every Eagle Scout gets an invitation once I become an Eagle Scout to those meetings. So. Mm-hmm.
And then once you turn 18, you're no longer officially part of the scouting program. What happens then? I find it hard to believe that the Eagle Scouts, for the most part, would just fade away. They must continue on doing something.
Well, once you turn 18, there's some other opportunities, like Aiden touched upon, with the Eagle Scout organization that happens afterwards with all the Eagle Scouts. That's one way to stay active. I believe, I haven't found out too much information, but what I know is they focus on community service and different things that benefit the community. There's also, you can go into leadership positions in troops and patrols in the surrounding area. And along with that, there's this organization called the Order of the Arrow, which is an organization inside of Scouts, which recognizes Scouts of higher potential and Scouts of excellent quality. And that lasts through life. Once you are part of the Order of the Arrow, then you are in the Order of the Arrow throughout your entire life. And that is really community focused, and they do big service projects for the community. I believe 3 years ago, I was part of an Order of the Arrow project. This was when I was getting initiated, and we rebuilt that local campground called Easton, which is on Lake Coeur d'Alene. We rebuilt one of the big roads that goes through there with a bunch of gravel and different wood and stuff.
Yeah. We're beginning to wind down the amount of time we have. And before we go, I think it'd be great to hear a story or an anecdote. What's your favorite memory from scouting, Jude? We'll start with you because you have so many to draw on.
Yeah, boy, it's hard just to pick one. I would say kind of a wrap up of a lot of our 50 milers. It's definitely life changing for everybody that's involved on it. Our last one, there was some tears on it for sure. And there was a spot on a trail where the leader and I had about a 20-minute decision or a 20-minute meeting to make a decision. Do we go on or do we turn around and go back? And it took us about 3.5 hours to traverse about 100 yards on the trail because there was steep terrain, snow, belaying. And it was one of those things. I talked to the boys afterwards. I was like, there's certain things in life that you just don't necessarily need to tell mom. I said, this is one of those. And, you know, you can tell her when you're 18, but don't go back and blurt it out. Yeah. But the parents know that myself and my other leaders have the boys' best interests at heart, right. And we wouldn't put them in something that we didn't feel comfortable with. So,
And all the best trips involve some crying, Phil.
Well, that's true. There are always hard decisions, and knowing when to push the limits of someone to their limits and when to not push past it to be safe. Those are life lessons themselves.
Yep. They are. Guys, do you each have a short story to share? Aiden?
Yeah. I mean, summer camps are always a whole bunch of fun. You meet up with other troops and everything, but definitely the 50 milers, all the kids afterwards, no matter how hard those 50 milers are, all those kids come back and they say, all right, what are we doing next year? Are we going to top this one? Because our first 50 miler, probably my favorite one, that one, first 50 miler of the troop, we thought we planned really, really well for it. Then we got into, I think, the second day of the hike. And our plans went a little sideways, and so it was a little tougher. Not really a trail to follow, but it was raining, and we had a lot of fun with it, so that was a good trip.
Some hardship and some good times.
Oh, yeah.
There's miles, and then there's miles.
Phil would know. Sam?
I would definitely say that one of the most memorable was this last 50-miler that I did with the Scouts. It was just so much fun hanging out with all the guys, and I remember going up into one of the mountain lakes that we were hiking along. We were hiking in the Seven Devils area down in southern Idaho. And we hiked up to one of the mountain lakes, and it was like after the fourth day, and we all just smelled terrible. And so we all just went swimming in the lake, and it was so cold. It was just bitter cold. But the benefit afterward is we all went fishing, and we all ended up catching a ton of fish, and we cooked it out in the fire, and then we just played a bunch of like capture the flag and threw snowballs at each other in the middle of summer. So that was pretty interesting.
Thank you. So final question before we go. If someone's listening and they go, wow, I need to get my son, daughter into scouting, or if a youth is listening and they want to get involved, what do they do from here? How do they get in touch?
There's two avenues. One would be to contact Sandpoint Parks and Recs. They have a list of phone numbers for either the lower level or up into the higher level. And then my phone number is 208-290-5173, and I can get you connected into, you know, Boy Scout level, and I know a lot of the Cub Scout leaders. And you could also just talk to your local school. Most of them would have information of who the local leaders are and get you in contact with them. So
wonderful. Jude, thank you for coming in today, and Aiden and Sam, thank you for sharing your experiences.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And one last comment. Jude's job is to let his young troop members take over and plan things. And I noticed he did a good job of that today. We had lots of input from you guys and just a little from Jude. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a song break, and it's one selected by our young Eagle Scouts. And that was Doolin' Banjos, a request from our young Eagle Scouts.
Nothing says backcountry travel like Doolin' Banjos.
So true. Well, our interviews run long this morning because it was so good, and Julie's here with the board. That's the other reason. But anyway, due to that, we'll be covering upcoming morning shows and then out with a song. Tomorrow, I hope you'll join Susie Prez and Chris Bessler with a pre-recorded interview with Idaho State Legislators Representative Sage Dixon and Senator Jim Woodward.
Always good to keep up with what's happening.
That's right. Midterm legislative update. And then Thursday, I hope you'll join at 8 a.m. Jim Healy and Jack Peterson. And it's about Valentine's Day. Their guest will be retired cardiologist Brad Huta talking about heart health.
They're going to be a week early.
A little early.
Yeah, that's okay.
Heart health is always fine.
We should say, of course, next week we've got Jack Nisbet, a pre-recorded interview with Jack, his new-ish book, The Doctor and the Dreamer. That's a fun interview. You'll want to listen to that Tuesday morning show. And we'd be remiss to not note that our own broadcaster, Ryan Baumgartner, Wednesday afternoons with the 3 o'clock rush, is an Eagle Scout.
True. And Ryan couldn't be here today, but he's a great example of young responsibility in our community.
Wonderful leadership and civic pride.
We do. Well, with that, we're ending our KRFY morning show. Have a great week, everyone, and out with Creedence Clearwater Revival, Born on the Bayou.